Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to 219 Green Connect, where we explore topics about green living and other fresh ideas. For past show archives, news, and upcoming events, you can check out our website at 219greenconnect.com or join us on Facebook or Twitter. Our ID on both Facebook and Twitter is 219 Green Connect. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. I am your host, Kathy Sippel. And today, I have a very special guest I'd like to thank for joining me. His name is Raphael Sparge, and Raphael is the star of TNT's hit series, Murder in the First, and recurs on ABC's Once Upon a Time. He's also directed and produced a documentary about climate change, Is There Hope for Planet Earth? And in the little free time that he has, he founded GreenWish, a nonprofit that helps local green organizations fund projects for their communities. GreenWish currently has chapters in Los Angeles, Lawrence, Kansas, St. Louis, Kansas City, Missouri, and Denver. Chapters are in the works in other cities, including Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And about why he founded GreenWish, he said, after the birth of his daughter, he was struck by how strong and good he felt as a father and asked himself, what could he do to contribute in any small way to leave the world a little better than how he found it for his daughter? And with that, he founded GreenWish. So thank you so much for being here today, Raphael.
Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you for that. And thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'd love to hear a little bit more about the name GreenWish. I really like the idea about the power of wishing. And can you just tell us a little bit about the background besides the inspiration from your daughter? How did you come up with the name?
That's a really sensitive question. Thank you. I mean, it's true. I mean, there's a lot to wishing. And some of it goes beyond, you know, just kind of, you know, fantasy or potentially woo-woo in my mind. You know, it really goes to kind of our aspirations and really where we devote ourselves. I mean, let me just jump in and say, you know, I did this obviously as a way to try and leave the world a little bit better, or if that's too big a bite to take, perhaps maybe even hopefully not too much worse for my children and for their children. We know that there's so much need out there, and we know that it's for those of us and for your listeners who understand this conversation, we know that it's pretty urgent. What I have found and what I feel strongly about is how important it is on the one hand to get the word out, but on the other hand how dangerous it is when we get inundated with bad news. And gosh darn, there's a bunch of it, that we can go to a place where we get to apathy or where we sort of check out, where we sort of say, oh heck, it's all so bad. Why even do anything? Or, you know, how can I possibly try? How can I make any difference, you know, considering how much bad news I've heard on any given day, any given news cycle? My point is, and my hope and my wish is that we can really feel the power of what it feels like to actually try and make an appreciable difference. And that what these GreenWish chapters do, and I encourage people to start one. We make it easy so that you can, and I'll talk more on that as we go, but is to really empower people with a sense of that they can make a change, they can make a difference, that small things do add up to big things, and that supporting local organizations in your community who are doing shovel-ready work that are really working hard and impassioned to do so, that helping them make a difference is really a place where you're going to really see also very clearly the kinds of differences that can manifest through your energies. So again, I appreciate your question, but there was some thought in that.
Yeah.
In GreenWish. Yeah.
I think it's a great answer, and I agree that there's a lot of power in wishing. I think there's something in your brain called the reticular activating system, at the risk of sounding like a total nerd. But
what's that? Yeah, I haven't heard of that. What's that?
It's kind of like the phenomenon when you buy I don't know, you buy, let's say, a green Prius, and then you never noticed them on the road before, but now that you're looking for it, now you see them everywhere, you know. And so I think just hearing about somebody else's wish that they start a compost center in their community, or that they start a chapter of Green Wish, or, you know, whatever the Green Wish might be, it activates your brain and helps you see possibilities that you might not have otherwise. So I think it's a really
great.
Strong...
That's just great. I've never heard of that, but that's exactly right. I actually have a success story in that vein. You know, when we started the chapter in Lawrence, Kansas, we had an event, a launch event, where there was a congressman and various councilmen and various city leaders and various folks came, and they came to hear about Green Wish and kind of kick the tires and say, you know, what's in this for us? And I said, you know, it's all, you know, 90 cents in the dollar goes directly back into your community, and I take no salary, and this is really about trying to sort of really find a way to make a difference in your community. What they also did was they wrote down in a series of cards what their Green Wish was, and one of the things that came up over and over again was curbside recycling. There was no curbside recycling in Lawrence, Kansas. Well, guess what? Courtesy of the congresswoman and the various council people, and then how this began to sort of get into the conversation, that has changed, and there is now there's just started or about to be significantly huge shift into curbside recycling in Lawrence, Kansas, because people expressed what their Green Wish was at that event. So it does have sort of a as you say, sort of a almost sort of magical and compounding sort of factor that really can generate an idea.
Right, just drawing attention to something, and then you kind of round up your tribe. Like, I want that too. Boom, you got it. Yeah, well, and I know that it's a relatively new organization. I believe you launched it on Earth Day in 2009. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Good.
What we did was I had, you know, again, come up with this idea, and then worked with arguably many of our. Many of those of us who sort of care about this, one of my heroes in that regard, Ed Begley Jr., who's a friend and a sort of a compatriot at arms in the trenches of this conversation, but also a fellow actor. And I went to Ed and Rochelle, his wife, and who people will know from their show Living with Ed. They're a funny and wonderful couple, and they loved the idea. They responded to it right away, and what they loved about it was that Green Wish could help multiple organizations, and as opposed to just one, and again, that it's all community-based.
Right. Well, maybe we could talk about just how people go about forming a chapter, what the structure looks like, and maybe some typical projects. You mentioned one, getting curbside recycling, but you know, maybe we could share a few other success stories that have happened. So if I wanted to start a chapter in my area, I would go to greenwish.com and...
Yes. You would go to greenwish.com and you would reach out. Essentially, there's a place where you can contact us, or you can just go to your email and email greenwish@greenwish.com, and that gets to us. Here's what's involved. Essentially, with you and a few friends and maybe a few $100s. I mean, it really is. We've made it as what you get as you begin to set up your chapter is access to our EIN number. That's our nonprofit number, which anyone who's tried to set up a nonprofit knows that that's heavy lifting to get that.
So a lot more than a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, and a lot of time, and a mountain of paperwork. But so you get access to that. You also get, in this case, free banking, kindly from Bank of the West, who is, in this case, a supporter of ours, and I'm very happy to say how grateful I am to Bank of the West for this. So you get free banking from Bank of the West. We get bookkeeping. You get, insurance for your board. Also then access to someone who will mentor your chapter and then work with you with the guides and the manuals that we've created in order to sort of start a chapter. And then access to the website and then our social media team. There's a lot that you get access to. What you need to do is then work with your board and then begin to go into your community and find the nonprofits that you want to support. In this case, we really sort of keep it to earth, air, water, and sustainable education, sort of that sort of umbrella of green, as it were. And we have tended to sort of say with, you know, the one sort of caveat is that if we're supporting animals, that they are really sort of wild animals and in natural habitats, there's a whole other enormous, arena in domesticated animals and an important one. But we've tried to sort of keep our mission so as to not to get too confusing, just to really sort of wild animals. But we really give you free rein to find those nonprofits that are doing important work. We tend to sort of look for the smaller nonprofits that really need the money and really need the support. And what you then get to do is sort of reach out to them. There's an application process. Those nonprofits then become your designees, and you then work with your board and the money that you begin to raise in the community, and we have a whole host of ways in which different chapters raise money as well. But all of that money then goes through your checking account and then again directly back into your community. So it really is a community helping community idea, and it is a way to maximize the giving. I mean, again, going back to that first thing we talked about, because there's so much need, because, maybe you can't give $50 every time you get an envelope with a polar bear on it as much as you want to. In this case, what we get to do is create a sort of a simple conduit for giving, so that even if it's $5, $10, $15, you know that it's all going to go to this group of green, as well as also then you know that it's community-based and you know exactly right where it's going.
Well, and there's a retailer component to this as well, right? And I'm not sure that we've mentioned that so far. Could you say a little bit about how retailers get involved?
Yeah, we've worked with retailers who share a passion for, community giving, as well as then also, sort of a sustainable idea. We have cards that we create and then are able to sort of deliver to the retailer. These have barcodes, and the barcodes can then be designated to an account that they sort of keep for Greenwich. And those can be, $1, $3, and $5 additions to purchases. We've seen this model before. That then the money that then gets donated to Greenwich via the retailer can say, hey, I'm not picking favorites, but I am in this case supporting sustainable ideas in the community. That's nice for them. And as well, then the retailer gets the tax deductible contribution for, having raised that money and then gotten to Greenwich. So everyone wins in this circle, as it were. And the cards also, I guess the benefit of the cards is that they have also the web addresses and information about all the local nonprofits. So what we're then doing is we're not only sort of bringing, in this case, much needed funds to the nonprofits, but we're also bringing them awareness, which sometimes can be as much, if not more, valuable.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. And can you notice any pattern of the retailers that get involved? Do they tend to also be, green or sustainable businesses, or do they kind of run the gamut?
They have run the gamut. I mean, we've had family-run businesses. We've had supermarkets. Again, a lot of times, businesses that have grown and become very successful in the community because of the community, and then also, people who have children and are looking at the world and the changes that we're undergoing. I think we all have this sort of shared sense of kind of concern and passion to try and want to do what we can. I've got
right.
DNA in the game, right? So.
Yeah.
I want to try and do what we can to help lift this all up. And so the retailers that have generally jumped in have often been family-owned businesses, community-based businesses, and ones that share a passion for children and the next generation.
I saw a T-shirt a friend of mine wore to a food swap I attended a few weeks ago, and it said "Local is the new black." I like that.
Oh, that's great. That's
because
really great.
And I think there was a video that I watched with Ed Begley too, and he was saying that, you know, local and sustainable to him was as important as organic, you know, in the tagline of the produce, because local, you know, really does help us, you know, reduce carbon footprint for delivery and many, many things. So I like that you extend it to all different kinds of retailers and make it very inclusive so that everybody feels like they can be part of the solution.
In addition to that, just to piggyback mm-hmm, on that,
sure,
which is that, you know, once your board then identifies the four or five different nonprofits that get supported, we work with them for a period of time, say 24 months, at the end of which then that all gets rotated. So it isn't sort of it doesn't just sort of get locked on those five. Obviously, there's a lot of need out there, and this is an opportunity for that need to be, you know, spread around. I mean, I can tell you, when I sit down and write the checks to send out to the nonprofits, I feel like Santa Claus. It's just so great to be able to kind of be sending them out. And some of the groups that we've identified, again, some of the smaller ones that really need the money, have expressed to us, you know, when we've identified, like the board, Ed Begley and the board has identified you as a recipient for our Green Wish grants. They've literally burst into tears, and they said, "Oh my God, you have no idea how much we need this money, and how creative this is, and how wonderful this is to be a part of this program."
What a great feeling to write those checks. And I'm curious too, with your board, do they typically you know, just donate to an existing nonprofit for work already in progress, or do they sometimes collaborate on, you know, a new project that they see a need for in the community?
You know, what we've tried to do is identify nonprofits that are actively working in the community and that have, again, shovel-ready work and that has direct impact on those who are living there. So, you know, for example, in Los Angeles, currently we support Friends of the LA River. They're restoring the Los Angeles River, which runs, you know, all the way 51 miles through the city. We support Coalition for Clean Air, which does a lot of work in really sort of keeping our air clean and really supporting legislation to that effect. Food Forward, you know, picks fruit and vegetables that are on public lands. In California, obviously, there are lots of citrus trees and avocado trees that are here in public lands or on people's backyards, and donates them to the hungry or the homeless, a sustainable idea. So this kind of gives you an idea of the range of certain ones we support in LA, but every city has its own needs and demands. And again, that's what you get to decide when you create your own chapter as to where the money gets to go.
Right. That's great. I'm curious about people who have stepped forth as board members thus far. Do you recognize any pattern in their backgrounds or any common thread? Is there any background you think might be more successful as a founding board member than the other?
That's an interesting question too. We have a range. I mean, obviously, Ed Begley and Rochelle are on our board in Los Angeles. We have a wonderful man in Preston Brooks, who is an environmental attorney who works, you know, with cleanup sites and trying to get cities to hold them responsible for the pollution that's occurred in those sites. We have Sharon Lawrence, a wonderful actress who's also an advocate and a passionate, you know, environmentalist. There's Julia Cho, who works in both in news media and various other outlets, and is a passionate advocate and writer and blogger about the environment. These are just sort of examples of certain folks who are doing it. But I mean, I think everyone sees. I guess the nice thing about the Greenwich idea that as it got shaped is that it seems everyone, I think, sees very quickly how it does enormous good, and that it's a simple idea. You know, it's hard, as they say, simple ideas are hard, right? So in this case, I'm really happy that this is simple enough for people to understand it and for people to kind of really be able to get behind it and see that it's providing maximum good for, you know, the most amount of people. So, yeah, I mean, I think every board maybe has its own unique character, but certainly people who care are in this conversation.
Great. And it's nice that it's got such a turnkey approach. So even if you don't have a background in fundraising, you know, it seems like it really details the steps that you need to reach out to retailers to kind of build, you know, build your board to get each step done. You've got a template that somebody can take and run with it.
Yes, right. I mean, we've Victoria Bogner, who's one of sort of been sort of on point. She's a board member in LA as well as also then. Been head of national expansion. She's got a wonderful algorithmic mind and has been able to sort of really kind of put this into kind of a very step-by-step approach. She works at a financial institution in Lawrence, Kansas called McDaniel Knudsen and has a wonderful background in finances and investing and really knows how to make this as simple as possible and as clear as you can. I mean, obviously, look, any nonprofit is a fair amount of effort and requires a great deal of passion and follow through. But we know that these problems aren't going away, and we know there's a wonderful feeling that comes over you when you are able to sort of actually channel one's sort of anxiety about the environment into actually conduit for giving. It's a great way to channel the anxiety.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me a little bit of the self-organizing way that green drinks are run. I'm not sure if you've got green drinks
in
your area.
Yes, we actually partnered with Green Drinks in our chapter in Kansas City. Wonderful organization.
Yeah, I ran that myself here locally for a number of years until I recently turned the reins over to a new group of people. But, you know, it seems like there are a bunch of people concerned about the environment, sometimes, you know, meeting monthly on a topic, sometimes really just to meet and greet. But, you know, at the end of that session, you're always left with, what can I do? What can I do? So I'm thinking maybe those green drinks organizers would be a good place to start. You know, they have a website, greendrinks.org. So that's a challenge. I'm laying down the gauntlet here, green drinks organizers. This would be a way that you could, add some teeth to the interest and raise money to get those projects done. So I just, you know, I really commend you for putting this together because it is an awful lot for one person to do. But when you've got a model and you've got the support of a mentor and also a community where you can see what's working in other communities and model that within your own, I just think that's a really powerful thing that you've put together. So thank you for that.
I mean, you speak so eloquently, really understanding it's exactly what you just spoke to is exactly what we found in Kansas City was that there's a lot of impassioned individuals looking for a way to an action. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it seems to have had a nice synergy. So
yeah,
thank you for that insight. That's right.
And, you know, I get it. I asked you the question already. Do you go for people who are already doing specific work? And, you know, that certainly seems like a good idea to leave it to the professionals. Some projects, though, I've identified in my community, it just seems to straddle a few different nonprofits. And, you know, I wonder if this organization would even allow you to apply for grants in partnership with, you know, other nonprofits and appoint them as partners. I'm probably getting a little too off topic here. But I have a specific idea in mind. I actually sat on a grant advisory committee and, you know, you'd have to write a proposal. And many times writing a proposal that named multiple partners got you more points than just loading it up with one because different people bring different expertise and, you know, are seen to have a higher likelihood of success. But to be the person who writes that grant, you know, many of these other nonprofits are already so busy. So if you could offer that, you know, kind of project management and just be the point person, that might be kind of cool. I don't know. You've really got me thinking.
Exciting. I mean, what you speak to is a really interesting thing that I have to say, honestly, I wish I could say I was smart enough to have thought of, but I stumbled on it, which is essentially this. By creating a an umbrella of green through a sort of a synergy of green green people, as it were, green organizations, sustainable organizations working in the community. We know that earth, air, water, sustainable education, these are all themes that tie back to one another, very intuitively, right? The issue is, particularly in a city like Los Angeles, where there is sometimes a very competitive feeling between nonprofits to, get to the donors. What we've done is actually, by creating this synergy, we have sort of almost sort of forced the organizations to work together, right? Because it's sort of a high tide raises all boats. So by giving to GreenWish, because you're partnered with multiple groups, you actually may receive more donations because people like the idea of spreading their support around. And so what's been interesting, and I've had some wonderful stories about, in Lawrence, for example, where the nonprofits there, being sort of forced to work together, have actually shared resources and shared volunteers and been there to support each other's events. That's just a wonderful thing when we realize, obviously, how, the magic of our combined energies together and how, in this case, mm-hmm. how we can actually, reach that many more people.
Yeah, I really love that. And, time flies so quickly when I'm talking to such interesting people and passionate about the environment. I do want to make sure that I thank the show sponsor, which is Metro Recycling. And in our neck of the woods, people do sometimes wonder, where do I recycle? Well, Metro Recycling helps you recycle items that are outside the blue box, things that you can't put at curbside, things like vinyl siding, really amazing stuff that you might not have thought you could recycle. Odds are you can do it there. I have actually toured their place, and they recycle the kitchen sink, literally the kitchen sink. Not everything, but
wow.
the kitchen sink. But they literally had a steel sink right there. So very cool.
What
They've
a
got
wonderful three... organization. That's just
Isn't
amazing.
That great? Yeah, they really
yeah.
are. And so you can go to metrorecycling.net, and they actually pay you to recycle. So curbside, we do it to feel good and keep waste out of the landfill. But in this case, you can take your broken down microwave, you can take copper that you've taken out, whatever. All kinds of different things, and actually make a little money for it too. So thank you, Metro Recycling, for helping us be a little bit greener in my neck of the woods. But in our remaining time, I'd love to ask you a little bit about your documentary work. You're such a busy actor, starting, I believe, at the age of 4 on Sesame Street. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and staying busy, busy, busy through your entire career. And so now you're moving a little bit more toward documentaries. Can you say a little bit about the projects you're working on?
Yeah. Let me just sort of say is that on our website at greenwish.com, what we've tried to do is create a resource for teachers and your listeners who may be teachers who are looking for assets or things that they can use in the classroom that are Common Core. Related, that is Common Core vetted. What I've done is work with two wonderful graduate students, postgraduate students, to create an outline of materials for teachers. And this is using media. So we've received a grant from the California Institute of Contemporary Art, which is an organization here in California that really supports getting the message out through both media and then also really trying to sort of spread the word about sustainable ideas. We've created several documentaries, one of which now is online, which is the Is There Hope for Planet Earth, which again is on our website, or you can also find it on YouTube. And that's working with a scientist, a climatologist, literally at Caltech. We shot at Caltech discussing climate change, and it was really designed for, in this case, sort of adults, but also at a smart sixth grade level. So it's potentially for for classrooms. And we've created study guides that are on the GreenWish website for teachers, as well as then also suggested book reading lists and other materials. I'm just completing now a documentary which is going to premiere on the 29th of July here in Los Angeles as a fundraiser about the Los Angeles River and the history of the river. Fascinating story. The whole city of Los Angeles was essentially initially sort of created by the Spanish in the Portola expedition in 1763 because of this lush, verdant river that they had discovered. And they are the history of that, and then sort of what occurred to the LA River, and now the restoration of that river is a fascinating story. So that too will be available in the coming months. There's also another series that I did with Ed Begley Jr. Called On Begley Street, which will also be available on the Greenwich website. Again, green media, things for classrooms, things for teachers, things for educators or parents. What we're trying to do is get the word out, any way we can. And I've really enjoyed my sort of new foray into filmmaking and using these various interests and combining them together.
Thank you so much for being with us today. That time flew. We are out of time, but you've been listening to another episode of 219 Green Connect. I'm your host, Kathy Sippel, and my guest today has been Rafael Sparge, talking about his nonprofit, Greenwish. You can find out more at greenwish.com about the nonprofit and about these great resources for teachers that he's developed. So thank you so much once again for being with us.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.